We are down with the king topic of the day, which, of course, is the Subway Series. And right now, we are down with one of the kings of SNY, John Harper. Oh, New York baseball. I mean, Harper, how long have you been writing New York baseball for?
Oh, my God, Sal. Well, in Jersey till 88, and then in New York. I was on the beat with the Mets in 88 from then on for a while. Went to the at the Post, then went to the News.
You're experienced enough to remember when this was a Mets town.
Oh, my God, the 80s was nothing like it, man. That team, I mean, listen, I don't want to sound like I'm old, but that it's so different now. You know, those guys, that clubhouse, there were stories generated at that clubhouse every day because they loved to talk. And they were so colorful. Now everybody's so guarded. I understand it's social media and all that. It's just a different world. And by the way, it's good to see you at the ballpark. How's your family with this? You being here? Oh, good?
Oh, it was not easy to. I mean, I told my wife I was working. She didn't realize I was staying for the game afterward. She's like, what time are you be home? Like 3, 4. My God, the game starts at 3. I'll be home at 8.
It's a long day for us. For you got to be here and the writers got to be here early. It's not complaining, but it's longer than people think.
No, it is a long day, but it's Subway Series and it's fun. That's why I hate to. You know, it's 4th of July weekend and not everybody's going to be consumed with sports or the ball.
The good news is the bridge was good. Coming across the bridge,
nice
no
and easy
problem.
Getting here. I know I'm worried about getting home is going to be the issue. All right, I started the show, Harp, talking about how the Mets aren't out of the woods yet. Yeah. I know it feels like that coming into the Subway Series.
No.
You know, they win 2 out of 3 from Milwaukee. Yanks have lost 4 straight, falling out of first place now, trailing the Blue Jays. Mets aren't out of the woods just yet with this pitching.
They were 3 feet from losing that game if, what's-his-name's home run doesn't curl foul there.
Reese Hoskins.
Hoskins. I mean, so... Listen, it was Peterson was gutsy. I don't think he was really sharp, but he was gutsy, and they needed that. Just their pitching is such a mess right now. I heard you earlier. It is. It's up to the offense. You know, I mean, the offense has got to deliver. It just hasn't been good enough. I know runners in scoring position have been a thing all year, but lately it hasn't even been that. They're just not scoring. And I know it's a little harder with pitching's putting them in a hole in a lot of these games early, but still. You know, we saw this team constantly come back last year in late in game stuff like that. And even early this year, they owned the late innings. So there's no excuse. This lineup should be better. I know the bottom half is, hey, look at it today. And there's a lot to be left to be desired. But the big guys have to do it. The big guys have got to come through for this team.
You know, we had Keith Ratt on earlier, and he mentioned the same thing you just did. And Gary Cohen, I know, said it the other day on SNY about this team's at-bats when they're down are far different. Are you seeing that? Because you mentioned last year, and you never felt like they were out of it last year. This year, it's like down 5-0.
Yeah, I think it does wear on a team, you know, and maybe some guys have changed. But I think it's a little bit of an excuse, too. I mean, look, they've faced some good pitchers. That's been part of it, too. But, you know, they get to the young kid from the Brewers the other night. I figured that would start him. And again, Alonso was 3 feet from a home run, that ball off the wall.
Yeah.
So that would have made a difference, too. So. But you got to be better. You just got to be better offensively. I mean, behind or not, as you know, we saw them come through time after time last year. So what's the difference now? They should be able to get it going, especially with Soto. As good as Soto was, though, Player of the Month and all that, even he hasn't hit with runs and scoring, although he got the single last night.
Yeah, but seeing like
hit it hard, though. Hit it hard. Yeah. I know Quintana gave that
Hopper.
Second baseman an earful. Did you see that?
Yes, I did, and then he hit the home run afterward. They said Quintana was not happy with that.
Usually double play. You shorten up for the double play, you crowd the middle a little bit more, and if that's the case, it would have been a double play.
I was actually texting Evan Roberts about that last night because he was busting my chops. He's like, when Alonso made the throw home. You know, Evan is an Alonso guy. I'm a Soto guy. So Alonso finally makes a throw home, and Evan goes,
you're a McNeil guy.
Yeah, wow, come on, Harp. Yeah. So Alonso makes the throw home, and Evan's like, see, I just wanted noted that he made the throw. And then I said, when Soto came up, I'm like, all right, this has got to be the spot where he delivers. That's not.
He hit it hard, but, you know, that's what he. Listen, I know at some point it became a little bit of a narrative that he was unlucky earlier in the year, but he was rolling over on a lot of balls like that.
Pulling everything.
And not even hitting it that hard. He was rolling over, hitting soft ground balls. So he's in a much better place, it seems like, right now. But you're right. Those are the spots that he really needs to deliver for this team.
Well, I thought that's what he was going to thrive at. Remember, last Subway Series, and it's a different Subway Series, not just because both teams have been flailing as of late, but last time it was all about Soto. And many of us thought, okay, well, this is going to be the breakout. This is where he thrives, in Yankee Stadium, under the spotlight, in the pressure. And he wilted, which I can't believe. Different with Soto because now he's coming in on a heater off of June. At what point are we going to see that big impact moment, the Piazza-like moment from Juan Soto?
Well, maybe in the postseason would be ideal for the Mets, but, you know, you're right. I mean, it has to be more of that. But it was weird. The whole thing with Yankee at Yankee Stadium, you know, we made a lot out of it, and I know some people thought it was too much, but the body language was so weird back then, and now, and then it changed for the better. Seems to be having a lot more fun, seems to be a lot more comfortable.
The shuffling.
The shuffling, all that. And that, you know, I don't know which came first, feeling better at the plate or doing that stuff and feeling better with, you know, everything around him, but he does look like the guy, and I just, it's, you know, you go back to that at bat. I always go back to that at bat against the Guardians last year in the postseason.
Oh.
You know, he is so good for the most part. He just doesn't chase at all, and he makes these pitchers come in. And for the most part, they just don't want to throw him strikes either because they know how good he is. And I think he's leading the league in walks, right? So that's good if everybody's hitting behind him. And Alonso has delivered, but now they need that. They need another piece behind Alonso. Maybe it could be Winker.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I'm much more of a McNeil guy than you are, but he can't be hitting fifth. He can't be hitting, but he's behind Alonso today. That's not what you want.
I know. I don't want to make it like I have a major issue. By the way, we're talking with John Harper. Currently catch him on Baseball Night New York on SNY or Honda Sports Night on SNY. Jeez, a little throwback there. Writing for SNY.TV, long time baseball columnist here in this town. It's not that I'm an anti-McNeil guy. Sometimes I'm a change the, I don't know, I don't even want to say vibes, but just change it up a little bit. And I feel like this Mets core, this group, has been together a long time. And they've had some success, but they've also had some disappointment. And you can't get rid of Lindor, obviously. You're not going to do that. Soto's not going anywhere, and neither is Alonso. Can you move Nimmo, who's been inconsistent? Can you move McNeil, who's been inconsistent? And sometimes maybe not the best attitude. That's why I say that.
But yeah, I get it.
He's been a gamer, and he can play everywhere.
He does. He's versatile. He gives you a lot of value there. I mean, I know he's not a great center fielder, but he's adequate. And, you know, and Taylor, you're seeing when the more he plays, the more his bat slows. Usually, he's not going to deliver on a day-to-day basis. So McNeil in center is an option, especially if they go and pick up somebody at the deadline. You know, I mean, to me, I think if you put another bat behind Alonso, it takes care of a lot of problems you're talking about.
So Winker?
Well, Winker for now, but at the trade deadline. But I was just going to mention, Nimmo has, what, 5-6 more years on that deal. I don't think it's going to be a hard contract.
Yeah.
You don't want to eat money on that. You know,
okay, well, right. They'd have to eat some money. And my issue
he's still a good player.
I know, but he should be better. That's the issue, right? He himself would say this. It's not me ripping
he shouldn't
him.
Be hitting low 200s for sure.
But again, we saw the same thing last year before the All-Star break. Right,
he was on fire.
On fire.
Yeah.
And then he made the excuse saying, like, they tried to change something up in his swing, and then his foot or something was an issue. Okay, well, now this year, let's start. Like, I thought he was going to be an All-Star last year.
Yeah, I know.
And he was on track for
He was close, but then he fell off in the second half.
Okay, so
he
then
hit under 200 in the second half.
That's what I'm saying. And then this year, okay, all right, now, Brandon, get fully healthy, be an All-Star this year. And again, it's inconsistent. He's shown some power, sure, and maybe the lineup change could help. There are two guys that I think are the X factors. Well, two things. Number one, they got to get Lindor, Soto, Alonso going together at once.
Yeah.
And then it's Nimmo and Vientos. Like, what the hell's happening?
Well, Vientos, and don't forget Alvarez. They were both penciled in to be big parts of the offense. And I was convinced. I was sold on Vientos. Not only what he did in the regular season, but then he was so clutch in the postseason. When a guy like that goes ahead and has a big postseason as well, then I'm thinking, okay, this guy's for real. And maybe he is, but he seems out of whack there at the plate. And I don't know what's going to happen with Alvarez. I've seen the videos from Triple A. He's just flat out launching again. But that's Triple A pitching. We've seen it happen with Beatty. Every time he goes down, it's a different story when he gets up here. I don't know if it's the approach. I don't know what it is, but they need him. But I know. I think I heard you talking to guys before Keith Radman and everything.
Maybe Lennon
and Dave at the trade deadline. To me, look, they need pitching, obviously. But you got to see what. If Manaea's right when he comes back, if Senga's right, I think they need a bat. I don't know if they can get Suarez. If they could ever get Suarez and put him behind Alonso in this lineup, I think it totally changes the lineup. He's having a big year, and I don't know if the Diamondbacks are going to. They're under 500, but I don't know if they're going to fall out of it completely.
I guess it depends on what you'd be giving him. I'm all for it. I would like a bat. I mean, I'd like a center fielder. Pete Coromson would look nice out there. I got to let it go at some point.
Zach Scott's listening to poor Zach. Don't
I mean,
keep
that's
rubbing
a bad
it
one.
In.
I'm not a prospect hugger by any stretch. That's a bad one. He'd be the perfect fit. Anyway, I would look. They need. I want a bat. Center fielder would be great. I wouldn't be opposed to Suarez there. But they certainly need a top reliever.
Yeah.
And some would argue, as you heard before, Lennon.
They
and
do.
Keith
they do. They, look, I need to see Manaea back and pitching well. And I need to see Senga back and pitching well. That would help somewhat in the rotation. If not, you're absolutely. I wrote a column the other day. I think you know, it's not Stearns' nature to be bold, and obviously he does protect the prospects. But if they're in a situation now where they still have all these areas they need to address, he's going to have to. I think he's going to have to be bold if this team is really trying to win a championship this year.
Believe it or not, Harp, and we're talking with John Harper of SNY. It even got worse for the Mets. Jose Buto placed on the placed on the 15-day IL. Retroactive to July 1st with an illness. Chris Devinsky is recalled. Dude, who's pitching today?
They got no pitchers. I mean, it's really...
Who's pitching this weekend? They have nobody.
Well, listen, I know. I think I heard you this morning say you didn't like the idea. Why not throw the kid McLean in there? He had 10 strikeouts last night in AAA. You think he's going to ruin a kid if he has a bad start?
Oh, well, so you're saying instead of having him start last night, save him and push him back?
Well,
I mean, he can't pitch.
Looking at a couple days ago, I was tweeting about it. Why not bring him up, pitch last night, and push Peterson back a day? Listen, the win was important, so Peterson was probably the right call. But you could have held McLean back. Why not take a shot with the best guys you got down there, him and Sproat? Sproat's pitched better lately. Then you're not going to ruin these guys' career. And you never – I tweeted about this. I remember hearing years ago, because I know I've talked to people, and the Mets people feel like McLean's not ready, especially against left-handed hitters and all that. I remember hearing that about Matt Harvey 13, 12 years ago. And, you know, they brought him up, and he was like, who's this guy? You know, he was electric. So sometimes these guys, some certain guys can raise their level at the highest stage, the biggest stage. You know, McLean's got that sweeper. It's a nasty pitch. If nothing else, I think you could use him, maybe not now, but later in the year as a bullpen guy and be a guy that can help the bullpen. But I think they're going to have to take a chance with some of these kids at some point.
All right, how about the Yankees' perspective coming into this series? Even though they lost four straight here, I just feel like this is a get-right series for them in the making here with the Mets pitching being depleted. And the Yanks' bats starting to come alive a little bit. Dominguez getting going. Jazz has been hot, obviously Aaron Judge.
Yeah, I think, that was a rough four-game sweep. They made a lot of mistakes. They gave us a lot of key hits. But Judge is swinging the bat well. Stanton finally hit a home run. I think they'll be okay, but it's not going to be – I don't think it's going to be an easy division race now. I think they're going to be into it. But they got to figure – there's got to be pressure on them to win two out of three here because of the Mets pitching and all that.
Yeah.
The big news for them is they got to see what Clark Schmidt – if that's a serious thing, then they all of a sudden they got a pitching shortage as well.
They also need a third baseman.
Suarez would be perfect for them too, but the thing about Suarez, if the D-backs do make him available – and he's a free agent after the year, so he's only a rental – but he's going to have a bigger price tag than a normal rental because so many teams, the Cubs, the Tigers, he's a perfect fit for a lot of these contenders.
What would you do with Volpe, Harp?
I don't know. You know, I was shocked the other day when he made those two throws. The throw to third you can sort of excuse because he's got to play there. It's a tough play if he makes the right throw. The next play, he's got no shot at throwing the guy out at first base, and he lets the runner from second go to third. He's got to be aware of that, and I think I always thought of him as a heady player, but then after the game, he was defiant in saying, no, I would. You got to make that throw. You got to be aggressive. No, you got to be smart there. So I think maybe the game, it feels like the game is speeding up on him a little bit, which it shouldn't be in his third year. But it just feels that way when you watch the way he's playing. And he always seems to come up in crucial situations, and he's not getting a big hit. I don't know. I mean, you want to play Peraza there for a while? I mean, you know.
I don't have the answer, but I would have tried to nip this in the bud years ago. When you have a young player that's not living up to the expectations and struggling a little bit, why not send him down? And Cashman, not only did they not send him down, I don't know if you were there, but you definitely were familiar with this, when Cashman was defiant getting into it with Joel Sherman and the right.
With the GM meetings.
After that first season from Volpe, say, well, what happens next year? He said, oh, he hasn't played enough games at AAA. It's his first year getting his sea legs under him. Okay, well, now it's year three, and he's regressed. The Yankees have an issue here.
And that's the thing. You know, to me, it's a little bit like Alvarez. The expectations were so high on Volpe because, remember, they basically, you know, they turned down the chance to get Corey Seager because they were convinced Volpe was going to be a star. And now he's definitely, I mean, he's a serviceable shortstop, but he's not a star by any means. And so you really, you know, and I did a story on, this relates to Volpe a little bit. I did a story on Alvarez a couple weeks ago, talked to Todd Zeal. Todd was in his third year in the big leagues as well and got sent down. And he was so ticked off, he said, but he went down there and got back together with his old hitting coach from the minor leagues and turned it around, started raking right away, and he was back in 3 weeks and never looked back. He felt like maybe that could work for Alvarez as well. And maybe, I mean, it's a tough pill to swallow for Volpe because he's legitimate, been here, you know, every day shortstop for 3 years. That's hard to go down, but sometimes, you know, I mean, sometimes offense is more about what's in your head than anything else, and some maybe that's really the issue.
Would you pitch to Aaron Judge if you're the Mets or any opponent?
Oh, John Schneider won't. That's
I mean,
sure.
Until he does and gets beat by it.
Although he did the other night and he regretted it. Remember?
That's what I'm saying. He hits the two-run homer.
Two-run homer. But they intentionally walked him five times in the series, the most ever in a series, I think I saw.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, why would you? Like, Stanton's dangerous, and Jazz is kind of hot. But
Bellinger,
still,
I mean, you know.
But still, any kind of situation where a game's even close to being on the line, I got to make somebody else beat me. I mean, I think other managers are going to look at that and say, you know, we're going to do the same thing until it costs us games.
Yeah, I would not pitch to him in a key spot, period. But I've been seeing this for a while. Mets got away with it last year with Diekman. Remember Jake Diekman coming in the game blowing Judge
away?
Well,
they weren't their guys on base, though, I think, at that point. They were.
Still, I'd walk them. I don't care. If it's,
well, Buck Showalter once walked Barry Bonds with the bases loaded, walked in a run and got out of it. I mean, if you got to – I think that Diekman thing, that was the most unlikely moment of the year, man. That was crazy. But – listen, you got to make somebody else beat you if you're an opponent for the Yankees. And I think more managers are going to see that and start doing it, too. I mean, they really need Stanton to get hot, because when Stanton gets hot, that sort of negates that a little bit. But he hasn't – he hit the home run, but he really hasn't swung the bat yet.
Last one, what about the bullpen issues for the Yankees? It's different for the Mets because it's not that their guys aren't performing. They don't, you know, whatever, Brazoban, Reed Garrett, those guys have fallen off the cliff, maybe overusage, whatever. Yankees' two best arms back there, Luke Weaver, Devin Williams, are supposed to be short things. They'd be on anything but.
I thought Devin Williams was over the hump, and then he had a bad one the other night. And he just has a look in his eyes like he doesn't understand what's going on. That makes you worry because, again, game speeds up on guys. And Weaver, that's kind of, you know, I mean, coming back from the injury, he just hasn't been the same guy. So maybe he just needs to get more of a routine. But those are their guys. They don't have a lot of depth there. You know, Loaisiga hasn't been the same guy. They need some help there. They're going to need bullpen help, too. I mean, The trade deadline is going to be a big issue for both these teams.
Yeah, and if, like you said, if Clark Schmidt, who's on the IL with right forearm tightness, which is usually not a good thing.
They got to hope Heal maybe comes back.
But that's a pretty big hope. I mean, you could have a spot where the Mets and Yankees need. It went from just, hey, the Yankees need a third baseman and some bullpen arms, and the Mets need some bullpen arms, to each team could need a starter, multiple relievers, and a bat, whether it's center field or third base. I mean, both these teams who were, last time they met, on top of the baseball world, now everything's crumbling
it's
right
amazing.
In front of us.
It's a long season. We always forget that. But, yeah, I mean, I know, and you can't get, I tell you, one kid you can't give up is this kid Lombard if you're the Yankees. He looks like the real thing. I know you give up Spencer Jones in a second.
Wow.
He's got huge power potential, too. So
you're hoarding the prospects again?
No. Yeah. Lombard, you can't give up. He looked major league ready in spring training when he was, 19, 20 years old.
Can they bring him up now? Send Volpe back?
They might. They should. He could probably play better third base, than, you know, but I get it. These organizations want to make sure guys are ready, but sometimes you got to take that leap of faith with certain guys. And I always say it because you see it. Certain guys can raise their level when the lights are brightest and all that stuff, so you never know.
Harvey might have been the best example of that, at least for me, because all the other guys were hyped. We heard about Wheeler, heard about Syndergaard. I remember watching Harvey in wherever he was before that. There was a game on SNY, and I was like, yeah, this guy, not much to him. He comes up the first pitch in Arizona. I'm like, whoa!
He turned it up a notch for sure.
Who's this animal? I love him.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why. I mean, I get it. But I don't think it's a matter of service time. That was an issue, the old regime. I don't think that's the case with some of these young guys with either one of these teams. So it's just a matter of them feeling good about the decision. But sometimes you got to be bold and take a chance.
Thanks, Harp. You know? Appreciate the time. Yeah.
Hey, how long are you staying inside? You got to get home, right?
Yeah, I'll be stay for a few innings. Maybe watch a couple of Soto with bats, and they got to get home. Start firing up the grill. All right. Sal Licata live here at Citi Field.